This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
سلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. Tonight is the 30th night of the month of Ramadan, inshallah, unless we see the moon. You can't go outside, so you're never going to see the moon. The masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can look for the moon from inside the masjid, because there's no roof, only in the back, it was covered. Alhamdulillah, today we'll go through some surahs of the 29th juz as well as the remainder of the 30th, inshallah. Tomorrow I might just do a general few minute reminder after Salat al-Asr. I'd like to always keep my last evening of the month of Ramadan to myself. It's my way of being selfish. So today, inshallah, we'll go through, we'll start off with Surah al-Muzammil. Surah Al-Muzammil is the 73rd surah of the Qur'an. When you think of the Qur'an and you think of the journey, how much we've gone through, how far we've traveled throughout this entire month. You know, it's 30 days or 29 days now of fasting that we're about to complete. You know, so many surah, so many verses, so many ayat of the Qur'an that we've gone through, so many juz of the Qur'an. But I always tell myself, and I share with my students, 80% of what you learned is gone. 80% of what we learned this month of Ramadan is gone. You'll probably not remember it, unless something specific to that affects you in your life, and then you might remember or recall, hey, we learned about this in the Quran. And that is what our teachers would teach us. You can sit for hours and hours, day after day, learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we're not going to document it, and then we're not going to revise it, we are not going to retain it. And by listening to halaqat, alhamdulillah, we've done it. It's good. It's a motivation. It brings us closer to Allah. We're spending just our time sitting in the halaqah is spending, or is being spent in the remembrance of Allah, right? We're in the masjid. We're learning the book of Allah. We're surrounded by angels. Right, we're in the protection and safety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, shh. The kids in the sisters area, maybe you can just take a chill pill. You're fasting, relax. Don't take any pills though, we're fasting right now. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, even the fish in the sea and the ant, its ant hole are making dua, seeking forgiveness and blessings for those who are learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, studying the book of Allah while sitting in a gathering in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just think of it. That is an indication of how every single one of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeks the forgiveness and blessings for those who remain in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just sitting and listening and learning is a benefit. But now the knowledge that we gain needs to be able to benefit us later on as well. And that's why let this month be, you know, a month that we learn, but also a month that we begin to document what we learn. That we begin to write it down, we begin to revise it, we look over it, right? Because there's so many lectures out there, so many things that we can listen to all the time. But most of it just goes in one ear. We feel a little bit something, you know, good about it, alhamdulillah, and then it's gone. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to retain the knowledge that we receive. Ameen. Surah Al-Muzammil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil.
قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم قيلا إن النهار سبحا طويلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muzammil, the one who is wrapped in his clothes. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in his home, he's wrapped in his clothes, in his garment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So the scholars mention here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get up. That blanket that you have, the covering, whatever it is that you're using to keep yourself warm, your gown, your cloak, get up. قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Get up and stand throughout the night, except for a little. نِسْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. Pray for half of the night or a little less. Pray for half of the night or a little less than that. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or a little more than that. So stand all night in prayer, except for a little. Pray half of the night or a little less than that, or a little more, and recite the Qur'an properly in a measured way. Tartila, pronouncing things properly, not rushing through it. Not like, oh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to finish all of Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran in one raka'ah. No problem. Alif lam mim dal kal kitab la no, no. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And you'll notice even the word تَرْتِيلًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaks it down for us to show us the pronunciation of the Qur'an is important. How it's pronounced is important. And so Allah says, recite the Qur'an properly in a way that you are, you know, reciting the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. For we will soon send upon you a very heavy revelation. Right? Very heavy revelation. The Qur'an is coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still. In fact, the next surah is the next part of the revelation after Surah Iqra, as we mentioned last night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطَأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. Indeed, worship in the night is more impactful and suitable for recitation. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because Allah says, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for during the day, you're so occupied with your worldly duties. So throughout the day, you're busy. Our minds can't reflect properly on the Qur'an. They can't focus on the Qur'an. Those who have memorized the Qur'an, you ask them, right? Especially if you memorize at an older age or an age when you have school and you're going to school and stuff like that. It's easier to memorize at night. Your mind is fresh. You wake up, there's nothing on your mind. One of the biggest mistakes that we make now as human beings is this. Phone. Wake up in the morning, even for Salatul Fajr. Your alarm is ringing, you set the alarm on your phone, and as soon as you turn the alarm off, you start checking messages, which means the messages are more important than the call to the Salah. Our WhatsApp messages, our text messages, our emails are more important than going to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that as human beings, as believers, when we wake up in the morning, the very first thing we do, we remember Allah. We open our eyes, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. First thing we do, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify Him. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana, the one who gave us life, ba'dama amatana, after having given us death, right? Because sleep is a minor type of death, wa ilayhi nushur. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first thing in the morning for success and for ease. Begin the morning that way. Not with who messaged me. And what do we see happening? We see people waking up in the morning, especially people who are not regular for Fajr, right? They complain to me about this all the time. Say, I get up on time, but I always end up praying Fajr late. And I ask them one question, why? You said you get up on time, but you always pray Fajr late. How? Why? What are you doing? And what do they say? I end up becoming busy with messages and my phone, and then I end up realizing for sunrise, and I missed Fajr. So our phones is a distraction, even more important than our prayer. And that's a sad state that we are in as an ummah, if that's the case, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, throughout the day, you're busy. You're busy, you can't focus. You don't have the time, you gotta go and do things. Mainly because there's sunlight. And that's the time in the day that you have the ability to go about, to work, to earn, to, you know, do whatever you need to do, educate yourselves, whatever it is that we go about doing in our days. But remember, at a time when people used and they burnt the oil in the lamp on the wick in order to see at night, like, by the time nightfall comes, khalas, you're not going to go work. You can't see what you're doing. So that's the time to just now relax. That's the time to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like when you go camping, right? You've probably gone camping before. Now people go glamping, right? You go camping. I remember we went camping once and the tent next to us, like we get there, we open up our tent, put our sleeping bags and pillows in it, camping. And the tent next to us, they open up the tent, then they open up the extension to the tent, then there's another extension on the other side to the tent, there's two bedrooms in it or three bedrooms, then all you hear is... What are you guys doing? Oh, we're inflating our mattresses. We have air mattresses. Okay, mashallah. And then at night, you have like these lights on, you have heaters on inside, mashallah. At night, when the night comes, it's dark, khalas, now's the time to remember Allah. Do adhkar. Pray to Allah. There's no distraction. You notice when we're here for qiyam, right? On the last 10 nights now, and the lights are on, what happens? Everyone's running around, food, everyone's eating. Shut the lights. It's calm. Now everyone's focusing on worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Even the kids, as soon as we shut the light, we should shut the lights tonight right away, right? As soon as the lights are shut, all the kids laying in the back, two kids even laying down on my sleeping bag. I'm in the bed and they're knocked out. Right? As soon as we shut the lights, they're gone. But when the lights are on, especially these ones, they're so bright, it feels like daytime. You're just running and running and running and running. You can't focus. As soon as the lights are off and it's dark, now you can focus. And it's the same thing with the Quran. You wake up in your morning, your mind is fresh. There's no distractions. You're not thinking of money, you're not thinking of your bank, you're not thinking of work, you're not thinking of traffic, you're not thinking of school, you're not thinking of anything else. No family, nothing. Your mind just rested. Alhamdulillah, you wake up. You go, you make wudu, you recite the Quran. Best time to memorize. Best time to memorize. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Always remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself to Him wholeheartedly. He is the Lord of the East and the West. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. We'll move on to the next surah. Okay? Next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here in surah Al-Muddathir. Again, Allah calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wrapped in your clothes, wrapped in your garment, wrapped in your blanket. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرُ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَاهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surah, similar to the previous one, calling out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who's covered up. The previous surah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is covered up, sleeping, resting. Now he's in his home, resting, relaxing. Allah tells him, get up, go and warn people. Qum fa'anzir. Arise, go and warn the people. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. And, you know, revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hold him high in status. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ. Right? And purify your garments. Why purify your garments? Why? Why purify your garment? What's the purpose of that? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stand, rise, go call the people, purify your garment? Good. Anything else? Sorry? Trust some, okay, yeah, the impression that you get from the person whose clothing is clean, you feel more, you know, of a connection, more impressionable. Yeah. Okay, you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you are representing the deen of Allah, right? Like Sarud was saying. You're going and you want to be as visible as possible. You're representing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as believers represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, the way of Allah. We are calling to who? Calling to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shouldn't we be presentable? Yeah. We should always be the best dressed of the people in society. Always. Always. Especially when we're going to not just have meetings with non-Muslims and take pictures to be able to post it on social media and say, I met the Prime Minister. No. But when we're going to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we show them that this is the way of the Muslims. This is who we are. And people wonder to themselves, oh, you guys are supposed to be barbaric. You guys are supposed to be like this and like that, right? People say, even till today in the media, people say things about Muslims. But when they meet a Muslim, they're like, hey, you work on the same floor as me at our company. Yeah. Oh, you're Muslim? Yeah. We can work too, you know. We're educated as well. And we see this more now. We were talking about it just a few days ago. I think some of the brothers, we were sitting, they were asking some questions. We were discussing how, as Muslims, remember we were talking about Islamophobia maybe 4 or 5 days ago. As Muslims, we used to, you know, not hold such high positions. There were very few Muslims that would hold higher positions. Now, many Muslims have really high, well-paid, well-honored positions, both in society, in, you know, workplaces, you know, business owners, you know, managers, CEOs, politicians, right? Slowly moving up higher and higher. And so we need to be from those who represent the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People should not, you know, especially during the month of Ramadan, we know very well that the smell that comes out of the mouth of the believer that's fasting is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the sweetest of musk. But we know that the smell coming out of our mouth is not that pleasant. And so, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do? He uses miswak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to meet delegations, right? People, non-Muslims, would come to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would be presented. And they were thinking that they were coming to this random person. And sometimes they thought they were coming to some king, some great leader, a person who claims to be a prophet, that he was going to be decked out and he was going to have, you know, this awesome gown and lots of gold and being served. But he was with the people. He was part of the people. That was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people, they had good garments as well. They dressed nice. They dressed appropriately. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one of the things I love about him is that he always dressed really, really well. Really, really well. He was a merchant of textile. Right? He used to trade, buy and sell, trade material. And so his material that he used to wear, the clothing he would wear, was of high caliber. Nice clothing. And they used to gift the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot. Even delegations that would come from abroad, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive gifts as well. Like from Yemen, he had a nice gown. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore nice clothing, but still mixed with the people. So in the minds of those who are non-Muslim that are coming to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some would think, he's just some Bedouin in the middle of the desert. And they would meet him and he would be presentable. His mouth would be clean. His hair would be combed and oiled, right? So his hair was styled. His beard would be oiled with itr, with perfume. The smell coming from him was so beautiful, so sweet, so nice. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? He was groomed properly. He took care of himself. Even when you read through the narrations, like the other day, a brother, he came the whole evening. He was here for Maghrib, he was here for Taraweeh. As he was leaving, one of the brothers, he tells him, he's like, what's going on, man? So like his thobe was completely unbuttoned and like, you know, his chest hair is exposed. And he's like, oh man, the whole night, he didn't realize his thobe was unbuttoned and he wasn't wearing an undershirt underneath and he's just like open. He didn't realize it. He prayed the whole night. And then he's like, oh, astaghfirullah, he's closing. I'm like, what's wrong with that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to leave his garment open at times where you would see his chest hair. And he didn't have a lot of chest hair. He just had a little patch. Just a little patch. But he used to leave it unbuttoned sometimes. It's a style. It's nice. It's hot, but it's nice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us, you're men. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. A little bit of chest hair, it's fine. Oh, I'll get a little stubble. No, it's fine. Let it grow. Alhamdulillah. This is the way Allah created us. Don't need to cover it up. It's there. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while at the same time they thought that he was like a Bedouin, some came and they thought that he was like a king. This is a person who claims to be a prophet. He must have servants. And they would come and see him simple. He was simple amongst the people. Even the Sahaba that were the closest to him, right? Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Ali radiallahu anhu. Some of these companions were like the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also the wealthiest. And even them, throughout their lives, simplicity. They had lots of wealth, but in their own personal life, simple. And so the Prophet ﷺ mixed with the people, was with the people, sat with the people, served the people. He didn't expect to be served. He served the people. And he would never eat until everyone else ate. He would never eat until everyone else ate. And then he would look and see what's left, and Allah, of course, would leave some food for him or some milk for him, and he would eat or drink. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So being presentable is part of our deen, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us here, you are presentable. Sorry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to be presentable, and we should be presentable, but be amongst the people. You look like $1 million, but you're not scared to roll up your sleeves and to serve the food to someone. You're not scared to roll up your sleeves and help someone whose tire is flat to change their tire outside in the parking lot, for example. You're not scared to, you know, go and do something that someone needs because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then says, وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ. Do not do a favor expecting more in return. وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. And persevere for the sake of your Lord. وَلَا تَمْنُمْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ. Don't expect anything in return. Whatever you do, do it for the sake of Allah. If Allah blesses you with something in return, alhamdulillah. If He doesn't bless you with something in return, alhamdulillah. You did it for His sake. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in the Quran, right? I think we just, Sa'ud was reciting it before, right? I was hearing him recite. We don't need any reward from the people. We don't need thanks. No thanks, no reward. Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah blesses you with something, khair. Take it. Allah, you know, withholds and doesn't give it to you. You didn't do it for that purpose anyways. This is showing the messengers. Remember, we took the examples last week of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ta'ala, they would not do something expecting any ajr, any reward in return from the people. They don't do it for pay. We're not spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for money. We're spreading it because it needed to be done. We believe in it. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do it for that purpose. If the pay is great, great. If the pay isn't great, great. Alhamdulillah. Easier said than done, right? But we push forward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. And persevere for the sake of your Lord. Be patient. Be patient. Your reward will come to you. Either in this life, or in this life and the hereafter. Or in the hereafter. But it'll come. You'll get it eventually. What you expect, Allah will give to you. But make sure that you stay sincere and you are patient. فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ. For when the trumpet will be sounded, that will truly be a difficult day. Far from easy for the disbelievers. And leave me, sorry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and leave to me, O Prophet, the one who created, the one I created all by myself. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave my creation to me. I will deal with them. Right? Those who believe, believe. Those who disbelieve, they disbelieve. Leave them to me. He says, and leave to me, O Prophet, the one I created all by myself and granted him abundant wealth and children always by his side and made life very easy for him. Yet he is hungry for more. But no, for he has been truly stubborn with our revelations. I will make his fate unbearable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the one who is running after more and more and more and never pleased. I gave him his wealth. I created him, as in I looked after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying his heart was beating, her heart was beating, her eyes they could see, they could move, they were, you know, full of energy, they had food every single day, right? His children was by his side, right? They enjoyed the luxuries of this life, they had their wealth and made life very easy for them, but still they wanted more. Never thankful. Never thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always greedy. I need more. I need more. I need more. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. Always will say this. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. But be thankful. Do shukr for the wealth you have. And always remember the day you didn't have. The times you didn't have the wealth that you have today. And maybe you're sitting here going, I'm going through those times right now. I remember in 2019, I was doing i'tikaf. And the whole month of Ramadan, he was telling me, make dua, you know, I'm going through a difficult time. He was unemployed for a long time. Unemployed, couldn't find a job for a long time. And I told him, I was like, don't worry, inshallah, we'll find something, right? So many brothers I know, I asked him, what's your profession? Give me your CV. There's many people I know. You know, we'll put you in touch with someone. Someone will help. He did i'tikaf. I'tikaf, he told me, he's like, you know what? This is like the end of the road. After, I think we're going to have to sell the house. I have no more money. I'm done. Like, there's nothing left. I just have to sell the house. Otherwise, I survive. Don't worry, inshallah, we'll find something. Like pushing day and night. I was like asking everyone, do you know someone? Do you know a company? Messaging groups. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, before the i'tikaf ended, a brother reached out to him, sent his CV over, and everything just went smooth. Until now, alhamdulillah, he's employed, he's working, and everything's fine. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. So sometimes we say, remember the day you didn't have. Maybe for you, I don't know. Some people might be sitting here going, that's that day for me. I don't have right now. I lost my job. I'm stuck. There was a brother last night who came to me right in the back. Before Qiyam, right in the middle of the night. And he got up from the chair and he walked over to me and he says, I need to tell you something. He said, you were telling us the other day about the importance of the masjid and how the masjid, Allah blesses us with so many things. You find, you know, friends here. You find, you know, other families that you can connect with. You know, this is a place that you come to, you can't find a job, there's someone here who employs you. And I was mentioning these things, right? You probably remember us talking about it. He said, I have no job. And when you mentioned that, I thought to myself, I'm just going to do istighfar. And subhanAllah, like, he kept pushing through with searching. And he's like, within 2 days, Allah blessed me with an interview, and I got a job, and I'm starting. Like, just like that. And he's like, it came from the masjid. Like, the connection was made here in the masjid through someone else. Just by being in the masjid, meeting other Muslims, talking to them, making that link, that connection, and now he has a job. And he's telling me this, and he has tears in his eyes. I can see his eyes tearing up, and he doesn't want to, like, you know, move his eyes too much because the tears are going to come up, right? And he just quickly finished telling me this, and then he, like, walked away. That is the masjid. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come here to worship Allah. And because we submit to Allah, Allah blesses us in the ways that we need from Him. You don't even need to ask sometimes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, sometimes He blesses people with everything, and we're not thankful. We're not grateful. We still want more. Remember the times you didn't have. And give to those who don't have. Because a time may come when we also don't have again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from poverty and protect us from hardship. And may Allah make us from amongst those that constantly remember Him. Ameen. Let's go to Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Surah Al-Mutaffifin, right at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim,
وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ
Wail is like saying, woe, like, may the punishment be upon them, right? Like, woe, may they be cursed. Woe to those who do fraud, right? The defrauders. Who are these people?
الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those are the people who, they take full measure from people that they buy from, right? Or when people buy. So they'll take, you know, I'm selling you this, it costs $100. You take $100, but they give less to the person than what they're supposed to get. So they're playing around with the scales. This happened at the beginning of the time of the Hijrah, when the Prophet ﷺ first migrated from Mecca to Medina. When he arrived in Medina, the people of Medina who would do business, they were known for taking advantage of one another. So one of the things that they would do is sell you dates. For example, you buy ajwa dates, and you look at the package, and the top of the package, oh, mashallah, tabarakallah, these are really nice ajwa dates, right? This must be the one package that came and made it through, and it's like of the highest quality, and no one took it, so you take it. You're like, well, this is awesome. You bring it home, you buy it, and it costs you 5, 6, 7, 8 times the price that it would cost you in Medina, and then you take it home, and you open it up, and you start eating. And as soon as you remove the dates from the top layer, what do you see underneath? Hey, these aren't the same quality ajwa dates that are on the top. It's a lower quality. In fact, I remember just a few years ago, same thing happened to me. I received a package, a container of ajwa dates. And I was like, subhanAllah, these look really nice. And I opened it up, started eating, and the dates right underneath the top layer were not even ajwa. They were not even ajwa. I lived in Medina for many years. I know what an ajwa date is. Those were not ajwa dates. My dates. I know the mabrooms. I know the ambar. I know all the dates that we have in Medina. This is not ajwa. And I was like, subhanAllah, this is terrible. Like, I actually called the company, the number on the thing, and told them, what you guys are doing is wrong. These dates are being sold as ajwa dates, and the ones underneath aren't ajwa. They're like, no, they're ajwa. I'm like, no, they're not ajwa. Open it up and see. You look at the dates on the top layer and look at the dates right underneath. They're two completely different kinds of dates. Like, anyone can figure that out. So this is how people take advantage. So at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what they would do sometimes is when they're selling like a barrel or, you know, an entire container of dates, they would put the fresher ones on top. And the ones from the previous year, the previous season that are already dried out and hardened on the bottom or somewhere in the middle. So when you dig down, you're like, okay, they're good, they're good, they're good. But you reach a point where they're hard, they're old, and they're not right. And another thing that people would do is they would play around with the scale, right? They would play around with the scale. So they're selling you, for example, 1 kilo, but not taking into consideration the weight of the jug that the dates are put in before it's put onto the scale. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this to teach us as believers, if you're going to do business, you're going to trade, you're going to buy and sell, make sure that you do it honestly. Make sure that you are not taking advantage of others. You're not cheating. You're not, you know, oppressing another person and taking money from them that doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. Because every little penny counts, right? Every little penny counts. A little transaction, a little bit of money here and there, that adds up. If you make lots of transactions. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us of that over here. And then we'll jump to Surah Ash-Shams, inshaAllah. Surah Ash-Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath 11 times before telling us something important. So here's an example. If I say, we're having samosas for iftar, how do you feel? Not about the samosas, just about the way I said it. No reaction. If I say, wallahi, we're having samosas today. It's a little more like emphasis to it, right? Someone says, Daud, I saw you with your jacket on. Did you go somewhere? Did you leave the masjid? Wallahi, I didn't leave. Oh, okay, khalas. Then that must be serious, right? What they're saying is true. Like, we'll take it. If they're saying wallahi, khalas. We believe it. Especially as believers, someone says wallahi to us, we're like, okay, that person's not going to lie and take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Here, Allah is taking an oath 11 times to show us there's something really important that I need to tell you right now. So when someone says wallahi, usually draws our attention into it, that, okay, this is important. This person is saying something that's important and it matters to them. It matters to them. They're trying to prove a point. They're saying something. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need to prove anything to us. He's saying it, but trying to catch our attention, draw our attention into what he's about to tell us. So what does he say? وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْضُحَاهَا. That's two. Anyone counting? I said there's 11, right? So, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْضُحَاهَا, by the sun and its brightness. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, and the moon as it follows. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, and the day as it unveils itself. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, and the night as it conceals it. The night conceals the day, right? The sun goes away and it covers up the day. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا, and by heaven and the one who built it. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا, and the earth and the one who spread it. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, soul and the one who fashioned it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, verse number 7, and by the soul and the one who fashioned it, then with the knowledge of right and wrong, inspired it. How many is that? 9, 8, and 11. Some of you are counting the verses, not just the verse. We want to know how many does Allah take? 11. Okay, 11. We'll go back. The sun and its brightness, the moon, the day, the night, the heaven, and the one who built it, okay, and the earth, and the one who spread it, and by the soul, and the one who fashioned it. And then the knowledge of right and wrong was inspired, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes 11 oaths. 11. In addition to the oaths, Allah words this surah in a way that draws our attention. And you know, when you're listening to Surah Ar-Rahman, people love it. Why? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Allah says it in a way that draws us into it. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing us into this surah. Listen. The endings end in a way that link each to the other. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wash-shamsi wa duhaha wal-qamari idha talaaha wan-nahari idha jallaaha wal-layli idha yaghshaaha was-samaa'i wa ma banaaha wal-ardi wa ma tahaaha ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها. Our attention is drawn into it. It's like other surahs don't have this trend. Sometimes there is, but not like this, no, almost the whole surah. So Allah draws our attention in to what He's about to say. He says, قد أفلح زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. That's it. That's the important message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? Allah was talking about the soul. Remember, He said, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَى. And by the soul and the one who fashioned it, then with the knowledge and wrong inspired it, the soul. And then He says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful indeed is the one who purifies their soul. He's drawing our attention in to tell us one thing. Successful are you who purifies your soul. And وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And doomed is the one who corrupts it. You corrupt your soul, you're doomed. That's it. That's basically summing up our lives. If you're successful in purifying your soul, you'll be successful in the hereafter. And if you corrupt your soul, fill it with love of the dunya, fill it with love of people, fill it with love of things, fill it with love of yourself, and don't fill it with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, destruction. That's it. Such a simple message. That person is doomed. So Allah draws our attention into just telling us a simple message. That is the power and might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that He's revealed the Quran to us, which brings us to the end of our time together on this ajza of the Quran, the 30 juz of the Quran. My brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, this is the 29th day of the month of Ramadan. We've gone through 30 juz of the Quran. We will continue, inshallah, to learn about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the year. This is something that we continuously do as Muslims, as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's been a journey that we at times don't realize its importance. Learning about the Quran, connecting with it. And this is something we usually feel is missing from our lives as soon as the month of Ramadan ends. So if I said or did anything that was wrong, then forgive me. That's from myself and from Shaytan. If I offended anyone in anything that I said, any example that I gave was offensive or someone took an offense to it, forgive me. I'm a human being and I try. Advise me. You know, we all make mistakes. Sometimes we, you know, make a lighthearted joke and we don't realize that it actually is hurting someone's feelings. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts and our intentions and make it easy for us to continue to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you for being patient with me throughout this month of Ramadan here, learning and listening. and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with the highest levels of paradise and Firdaus al-A'la. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and your families with complete and full forgiveness, and to make you from amongst those that stand by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day that we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are resurrected before Him. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and your children, and to keep all of you safe upon Iman and Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our community and grant us ease and goodness and khayr and barakah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a means of spreading this deen far and wide. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us genuine and sincere. And ask Allah azza wa jal to bless us with more and more of this dunya in ways that we can use that is beneficial for ourselves and for the ummah, and in ways that do not distract us from His remembrance. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wa jazakum allahu khayran. Wa sallamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.